Well, I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach tonight. I just kind of want to be a help to him today. He's had a very busy day, and he called me this morning and just asked if I would fill in for him tonight. I said, absolutely, Pastor, anything to do to be a blessing and a help to you. So, Pastor, thank you. Let me just say that again. I love you and appreciate you. Our prayers are with you and Tori and Will and Anna. Tonight, I just want to do something different. I really just want to do a Bible study. Can we do that? And I hope that you have some notes with you or some paper. What I didn't know this morning, but I'm scheduled to preach again here in just a couple of more months. And whatever I don't finish tonight, I want to finish when I get the next opportunity to preach. And if we don't get through the whole thing, then I will just wait till I do it a three-part series, okay? That's why I'm asking you to take notes tonight, because I think it'll be a help to you. I was talking to Brother Foster yesterday, and we were just having some conversations about just suffering. Everybody seems to be suffering in some way. And we were just talking about how people will say, I just can't believe a God that loves me would allow me to suffer. And as I thought about that, and of course, I've got messages on that with my counseling that I've been going through and helping people with that. It really made me think about really not suffering, but what really seems to lead into suffering sometimes, and that is, and you may not see the similarities of this, but I do, and I think you'll see it as I present the message tonight, but how temptation takes a part of some of our suffering. And I want you to take your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is actually something I thought about, actually when Pastor was preaching through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And by the way, I've sure enjoyed that, haven't you? His message last week on 1 Thessalonians was so great. I was just so excited about what God showed us from his word. I just kind of want to bring out a few things from that passage of scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Do you realize, and I hope that, I'm sure that you do, that the life of a Christian is filled with temptation. Have you figured that out? Have you seen that? How many of you have been tempted? How many have been tempted today? How many are tempted to go to sleep right now? we're all tempted. We're all having temptations that are thrown at us all the time. But why do we face temptation? Why would a God that loves us allow us to be tempted? Or why would a God that loves us allow us to be faced with temptation? You know, every believer, every one of us that are here tonight that know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, we experience a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit, between the things of the world and the things of God. We're always in that battle. But the main battle that we all face is to sin or not to sin. That is a question. To sin or not to sin? God, and I'm thankful for this, God has promised forgiveness for those who sin and later confess it. God has promised that. That's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. But let's focus in on that little phrase. Focusing on confession of sin instead of the purity from sin is dangerous. Did you get that? Let me say it again because I really want you to get that. Focusing on confession of sin instead of purity from sin is very dangerous. Do you get that? Let me explain that maybe for you. What we need to do is instead of praying and confessing our sin after we sin, we really ought to have a heart to want to forsake sin before we're tempted to do the sin. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about here. let me use an illustration to maybe to bring the point across. That would be like trying to build a hospital at a cliff's bottom rather than putting a fence at the top of the cliff. What we're allowing people to do is fall off the cliff and then take them to the hospital instead of building the fence at the top of the cliff and keep people from falling off. We don't want people to fall off. We want to protect them. And that is the way we see it, because when we sin, what do? We then go to the hospital, and that's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. But instead, we need to hate sin and not even get close to the fence that is on top of the cliff. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, that ye sin not. God is specifically telling us. Now, He knows we're going to sin, and we know that we're going to sin. And I think we use that as an excuse sometimes. Well, God, I'm going to sin. I'm a sinner, so I'm going to sin. And we think it's all right, but God tells us that it's not all right to sin. So let's work on making that idea a reality. Now, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 1 through 7. Let's read this tonight, because this talks about our need for holiness. And when I say our need for holiness, what I'm talking about here is our need to be, not to be sinless, but to sin less. You get that? So let's look at it, and this is something that Pastor preached on just a few weeks ago, but let me just bring out a few other things. In chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which knew not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto," and let's say the word together, "holiness." All right? Now, here the Apostle Paul gives us a need for holiness. And this is a need. It's a key passage regarding our lifestyle, the way that we live our lives as Christians. Now, in it, what we're told here in verse number 1, it is that we please God. Did you see that? Let's look at it again, verse number 1. It says here, "Furthermore, that we see your brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus that ye have received on us, that you ought to walk and to please God." That is what our objective is as Christians, and that is to please the Lord. To please Him. But not only do we see to please God, it says in verse number 3 that your holiness or your sanctification is God's will. Now, we all know that when we're saved, the biblical word for that is justification, which is a one-time act that happens at the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that is a one-time thing that happens the moment you confess your sins, you repent of your sins, and you ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. He comes in and takes residence through the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you are born again. You're on your way to heaven. Amen? But sanctification is different. The word sanctification means to be set apart. Just like I have a baseball at home, and that baseball is not just any baseball. That baseball has a signature of a pitcher that used to pitch for the Texas Rangers by the name of Nolan Ryan. Now, when the boys grew up, In my house, we played ball all the time, and I'd go out and throw the ball with Colin and Christian and sometimes Cody, and we would get a ball and throw, but that ball, and our boys knew it. They weren't going to throw that ball around. Why? Because it was in a case, and it was signed by Nolan Ryan. It was set apart. It was a special baseball. And in the same way, we as Christians have been set apart to live holy lives. God wants us to live holy lives for His honor. Sanctification is not a one-time thing. Sanctification is progressive, and you grow as you're mature in the things of God, and God grows you. And that's, we're going to look why in just a few minutes, how God uses temptation to grow us in sanctification. He wants us to be holy. And then verse number 4, he tells us he wants us to use our body as a vessel in a way that is holy and honorable. Verse 5, he tells us that our lifestyles and purity should not be like the unsaved. Isn't it amazing that we could see a distinction between those that knew the Lord Jesus Christ and those that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what, today, it's kind of hard to tell, isn't it? Because there's really no separation. There's no set apart. You look at people and the way they look, and you wonder, okay, are they saved or are they not saved? Do they know the Lord? Do they not know the Lord? And you try to witness to them. They say, oh, yeah, I know the Lord. And you're going, wow, you sure don't look like it. And I understand that it's not about what's on the outside. It's more about the inside. But I believe the inside affects the outside. Amen? So our lifestyle and purity should not be like the unsaved. And that's what the Apostle Paul here is saying in verse number 5. And then verse number 7, he tells us that God has called you unto holiness. Now, we have a tragedy today, and that is the tragedy of sin. Most Christians take temptation lightly because they take sin lightly. The late English pastor D. Martin Lloyd Jones said this: there is no doubt whatever that an inadequate view of sin is the chief cause of a lack of holiness and sanctification, and indeed of most of the false teaching with respect to sanctification. So why is sin so tragic? Why do we allow sin to be so tragic? Well, there are several things. Number one, sin offends God. Sin offends Him. God hates sin. So it offends Him. Psalm 51, verse number 17 tells us that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, if you're taking notes, and I pray that you are, the Bible tells us that sin grieves God. In Psalm 66, verse number 18, it tells us that sin breaks our fellowship with God. In James chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says it destroys the life of a believer. Folks, listen, we don't need to take sin lightly. Temptation is something that we're all faced with, and we need to know how to deal with it and how to battle with it if we're going to live honorable Christian lives. Robert Layton said in the late 1600s, and listen to this quote, "The way of sin is downhill. A man cannot stop whenever he wishes." When you start down the downhill road to sin, it's hard to stop. Now, is God concerned with holiness? Sure He is. God is concerned with holiness. In the words of Peter in chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says that He's called us to be holy in every area of life, in our behavior. And according to verse number 16 of 1 Peter chapter 1, which, by the way, Peter is quoting from Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 2, how holy does God require us to be? And look what it says, because it is written, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Are you saying that we need to be as holy as God? Well, I think that's kind of what the Bible says, and we know we can't be, but it goes back to the idea is I don't need to be willfully sinning, I need to be sinning less. Isn't that right? So through living a life that is set apart from sin, it's considered to be kind of strict, or by many it's demanding of God. We've kind of seen the idea now where that holy lives are not as important as what they used to be. I believe it's even more important today in the life, in the world that we live in, for people to see something different from us. Why is our country going in the direction it is? It's not because of the lost people. It's because of us saved people. So we are to lay aside sin, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, and to put on righteousness. We are to put off the things of the world as we're taking off a garment and lay it aside to put it off. And then the Bible tells us that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We got to think how God thinks about sin and get that idea in our mind so that we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants. Put off, renew our mind, put on. Put off, renew our mind, put on. If you're having an issue with some sin in your life, what you need to do is put that away. Get Scripture into your mind, memorize that, meditate on it, think on that, and then put on what God wants you to put to replace it with. Yet, it is inevitable that you and I will be tempted with sin. So what exactly is temptation? What exactly is it? More importantly, how do we deal with it? How do you deal with it? And how can we be holy? So let me give you some things, and let's first of all talk about understanding temptation. Understanding temptation. Now, we all know the verse, and I pray that you have that verse memorized, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God has given us the means to overcome temptation. Amen? Have you used those means? So let's understand a little bit about what temptation is all about. Scripture speaks of two different kinds of temptation. And it's very interesting. In fact, turn your Bibles over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The Bible speaks of two different kinds of temptation that are addressed here in the book of James chapter 1. Now, the first one that is discussed is James chapter 1. Look in verses 2 through 5. And let's read that together real quick. And I just realized what time it is. So we're going to have to hurry. This may be a three-part series, okay? All right, let's look at it. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect worth, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, let's talk a little bit about this for just a few minutes, all right? It says, fall into divers temptations. Don't you ever, isn't it the idea that when you're tempted by something, you fall for that temptation? Well, that's really what that says. That word fall means it can be sudden, it can be painful. But what's interesting here is that this word temptation here, it's best defined as a trial or a difficult situation. A trial or a difficult situation. If you want to read something later on, go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and read that passage of Scripture. We don't have time to look at it, but maybe mark that down and cross-reference that later. Now, the second temptation, so that's the first one. But in this same chapter, we see the second kind of temptation down in verse number 12. Let's look at it. "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say he is tempted I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, does what? Bringeth forth death, okay? Now, the Greek word here is the same as in verse number 2, but the meaning is different here. It's best defined as one of the last words of James chapter 1, verse number 14. And what is that word? Enticed. You see it? The Greek word for enticed literally means to bait. Yeah, you got the idea. You know, when we go out fishing, how many of you guys like fishing? How many of you girls like fishing? Okay, good. My wife does too. All right? I knew I married good when my wife liked to fish. And it was even better when I found out her grandfather had a boat. But that's the idea. You put that bait on a hook and you throw it out there and you're just enticing those fish. My grandfather used to tell me if I spit on the bait, I'd get a fish every time, and it works sometimes too. But that's what it is, by throwing it out there and getting that and enticing that fish. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do to us. And by the way, our flesh can be enticed as well. And the devil wants us to take the hook, because behind that hook is not something good. There's a lot of pain there, isn't there? I mean, you guys ever got stuck by a hook? Yeah, I even got stuck one for my son one time, okay? All those things hurt. But do you get the idea here? It is to bait. Now, both senses of temptation are presented here in Scripture as test to prove and improve one's character. Now, here it is. Many of us have been taught by the basic definition of the word entice that, oh, there's a temptation that's a bad temptation. Stay away from that temptation. But the Bible actually has a different word that actually means a trial or a test. And what does that intend? It intends to prove us, to improve one's character. Can you clearly differentiate between the two types of temptation? One that is a lure and one that is a test. Now, we all don't, most of us, I was not one that enjoyed tests as I was growing up in school. I didn't like them. In fact, I hated them. I failed more than I passed. Probably. I don't remember back that far, okay? But God gives us tests that He wants us to pass. He wants us to pass. So, because of time, I'm not going to get to the rest of it. I'm going to stop right here. But I want to help you with something. So that I have my next three points are the reasons for temptation, the recognizing temptation, and the resisting of temptation. But what made me think about this? My grandmother was a dear lady. Loved the Lord, sang in church. But I remember, Miss Madeline, I thought about this morning. I remember my grandmother singing this song a lot. Now, if you ever heard me talking about my grandmother was a warrior. Now, not a warrior, but a W-O-R-R, warrior. In fact, she was worried. I think I've told you this story. She was worried if she didn't have something to worry about. That's how much she was. But I remember her singing this song. In fact, I've been rehearsing this song, hearing her sing it. And she's been gone for 20 years. I can't remember. But I could hear her singing this song at home, there in the house. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder. Why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested though in the wrong. For you those that are missing loved ones, The second verse says, when death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our homes so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. And then that last verse. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion, and we'll understand it all by and by. Let's sing that chorus. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Now listen, I don't know what you're here tonight facing. And you may be thinking you're going through trials and temptations and testings. And you're saying to yourself, I have no reason, I have no idea what is happening. Can I just give you a little bit of encouragement? You may not know right now. And if you're honest and you look back in your life, there were some things that you went through, and you asked God to bring you through those, and he did. And you look back in your life and say, now I understand what God was doing in my life. I've got stories like that. You've got stories like that. We have a God that does not tempt us with evil, amen? But he loves us. And he wants us to have an intimate relationship with him that's not superficial, but that is real. And we're not robots going around here. We are people that have a deep, honest desire to know God better. And one day, we'll understand it all by and by.